All right, guys, welcome to, what am I teaching? Fun and engagement. That's right. So, fun and engagement. So, some things I wanted to talk about. Fun and engagement. If we are not having fun, the kids aren't going to have fun. That's the key to fun and engagement. I mean, if we're not having a good time, which I'm speaking to the choir here, I got, you know, Jim, the master of fun and engagement in class over here. So, and just your shirt alone, I almost wore my Hawaiian shirt today too, so it would have been perfect. So, one thing I want to talk about, I really wish I had my Bible with me. Does anybody want to let me borrow a Bible? I don't want to borrow yours, Tommy. You have yours? No, I don't want to use yours either. Is this yours? All right. So, if you have your Bible, you can go to Luke 24. You guys are getting the first fruits of this, of all of this. So bear with if I'm all over the place. By the fourth session, I should be good to figure out what I want to say. Oh, I'm not even going to the right chapter. No, it's fine. So Luke 24. If you're there, what I want to talk about is the road to Emmaus. And this is laid out differently than mine, so I got to figure out. I didn't write down the verse. Let's see. So on the road to Emmaus, they have two of the disciples are walking, as you guys know. And I'll start in verse 13. It says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about three score furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, and which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and had found the 11 gathered together with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. So, and then he goes on to reveal himself to the disciples. So that passage has been like my heart and my mind lately on teaching and on teaching children. And the key passage that I want to, I just tore a little bit. I'm so sorry. Is in, somebody can find it before, where it says hearts burn within them. Which verse was that? I'm on two different pages, so 32. So, and they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened us to us the scriptures? So that is my desire when I teach anybody, is that their heart would burn within them because of the way that I teach, the way I talk, because I have Christ inside of me. So realistically, I should be able to speak and teach like Christ did. And, if you go through that passage, you can kind of see, you know, what did he say? So he showed up to them kind of as a stranger. And this is, so the root word of education is, I've gotten this from Howard Hendricks. This is what he says. The root word of education is to draw out. And if you see in that passage, the pattern, Jesus says unto them, what things? So he's drawing it out of them. What things? So he wants them to speak of what they think of him and what they witnessed and what they saw. And that is kind of how we should be engaging the children, is, you know, ask them these questions. Pretend like you don't know. And be like, what things are you talking about? And get them, because once they can process that through their own mind and they can explain it to you, then they know it. And that's something we should be doing to engage them. That's a little bit ahead of where I wanted to go, but that's the passage. If you guys read that and meditate on that, that's kind of where I see, you know, we're coming alongside the children on the road or wherever they're going. And eventually, you know, he tries to go on further. He made as if he was going to go on further. They're like, no, come with us. And that's the thing I love about children's ministry, is I'm not a teacher by any means, and I don't teach in public setting like Lauren does, you know, is what we do here can continue all day, every day, throughout all of their lives. So we need to be always engaging the children, even when we're out and about. I mean, I was telling Jody, we went to the Horvath prayer team meeting, and I was engaging Jackson and some of the things that we were teaching in class and asking him, you know, this and that, and he was able to answer the questions. I'm like, I'm engaging him, not because I don't want to just put it in a box and like, oh, we're just in class, you know, now I'm just going to go move on. Because we need to make sure this is implemented in all of their lives, not just here on Sundays. And I'll talk to a point about that later. But so the first thing I want to talk about is praise. So there's power in praise. I think all of you guys probably know that. I know, Jim, you like music really good, and music has an effect on you. And can anybody give me two passages you can think of that have a really kind of a big concept about singing or praise? Think of two passages. Any two would work. I have two in mind, but there's two that'll work. Psalm 119, okay. Jim, you got anything? Any passages just about praise? Yeah, just a location of the Bible where something where somebody's praising in that moment or something like that. I'm engaging you right now. That's okay. So the passage is Psalm 100. Okay, good. So the two passages I'm thinking about is not specific verses, but David with King Saul. David was his psalmist. Whenever he was basically possessed of a devil and was losing his mind, David would play for him, and it would bring him down from that. Oftentimes, we need praise music to bring us down from our flesh, because we always say praise prepares your heart for worship. That's what praise does. It gets you centered on God. That's why a lot of songs bring people to tears. Now, we also need to be careful of the emotion and, you know, being swayed with emotion. But singing, you know, biblical songs that are good songs, singing praise to the Lord, I think prepares our heart for worship. And you can see that with King Saul. And the second one was Paul and Silas in prison. What were they doing? They're being beaten and chased, and they're put in prison, and they're praising, and they're singing through that. So we can see, obviously, all throughout Scripture how important song is. And obviously, Lucifer was the leader of worship, you know, for God. And it's important for us to do praise. It's also important for us to participate in praise. I have seen it before where teachers are just like in the back of the room watching the screen expecting the kids to sing. But the kids are seeing the pattern in which you set for them. And, you know, it's hard. People don't like to sing. I mean, the fact that I was even singing up here is ridiculous 10 years ago. I would have never done that. But I understand the purpose of praise and that it needs to happen no matter how embarrassed I get. Who cares? God just wants to hear his name praised. That's all he wants. And if we don't do it, they won't do it. And if they learn that pattern, if they see that, because kids do what they see, not what they're necessarily taught, they're gonna, and we'll talk about that here in a minute too, is if we're not engaged in the praise, so this is my method. What I do during praise is I walk around. We sing, we dance, we do whatever, but I walk around the room. That gives me time to evaluate the room, to kind of look, see if anybody has anything they shouldn't have, because they'll play with toys and they'll have things they shouldn't have. And if you guys know the rules for paying attention, you can't have your hands and body are still. You're not doodling, because if you're doodling, you're not paying attention, because your mind can't do two things at one time. So I walk around the room, and it also gives me an opportunity. What I'll do is I'll walk by the kids. Now, this goes into policy and stuff. We don't want to be touching the kids too much. But I walk by, and I'll put my hand on a shoulder or something like that, just to acknowledge the child. That's typically what I do. And I'll walk around the room, and I'll just put a hand on them, hand on the back or whatever, and I'll kind of look. Some of them, I'll look at them. I'll make eye contact with them so they know I see them, so they know that I'm engaging with them. It's not just, oh, I'm in the back of the room. We're doing praise. All right, now I'm teaching you. I'm walking around the room, and it gives me time, because that's like 15 minutes of time where I can walk around. I can weed out any jiggles and whatever that they're getting into where it might be disruptive later. And also where I can do a personal touch and be like, hey, you know, I see you, and we're going to, you know, I'll interact with them that way. So I think there's a lot that can be, that praise can be used for in the sense of preparing us and also preparing in the classroom setting to get the kids engaged, if that makes sense. Oh, I am so sorry. My beautiful bride to help me, sitting to the side. Yes. Oh, I love that quote. Howard Hendricks said, it is a sin to bore people with the Bible. Jim, you are a master of not boring people with the Bible in class. Yes. I mean, if anyone who brings in a legitimate honeycomb to teach about honey and the sweetness of the word is the master of engaging students. So yeah. Praise. Oh, yeah. Thank you, honey. I'm just winging it. So memory. For those of you listening, it is memory. And I'll read these since there's people listening. We tend to remember songs quickly and longer than just words spoken or things we read because it connects to your whole being. I mean, anybody who knows music knows that. I mean, you all can tell. When we listen to music, I remember as a teenager listening to like the same album 50 times over just because it touched me. You know, I felt that music. Childhood.
Like from my high school years, like I still remember every how my memory for all of these years.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of research on it. We all know it. And also movement. So music inspires movement, which engages with kinesthetic learners and helps get the wiggles out. So like I said, if you're not sweating, you're doing it wrong. If you're doing praise with kids and you're not sweating, then you're not doing it right. I'm already sweating. I'm sweating during praise. So movement. So memory, movement, and then minister. It's more intimate than speaking with ministers to our, which ministers to our heart and prepares us for worship, like I said. So it ministers to our heart. You can see that with David and Saul. It ministered to Saul's heart and brought him down from where he was. It can get the kids engaged that way. So, and then meaning. So help children understand deep spiritual promises, especially hymns or oldie children's Christian songs. We love doing, what's her name? Getty. Kristen Getty, I think. She's Scottish, Irish, or whatever, but she's redone a lot of old hymns into more modern versions. So we sing like What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and then Lord is Our Salvation, stuff like that. Songs that have deep spiritual meaning that lay out doctrine in them that the kids are singing. Yes, that one should be. If not, we'll get that hooked up and make sure everybody has those. But yeah, Lauren Getty, I think. But anyway, so memory, Keith. Yep, Getty. And we can launch this stuff out to you guys in an email or something like that, anything that we talk about. Just write it down and make a note and we'll get it to you. So memory, movement, minister, and meaning. So the power of praise. So today, there's going to be a praise contest. I alluded to this. So apply what you learned today and move during our final round of praise at the closing session to earn yourself a prize. Have fun. Be silly. You guys kind of saw the King of Me song is super simple to figure out. It's giants, lions, creatures of the deep. You know, he's a king, crown, and me. So, and the rest of it's just knowing the words in between, which is Daniel, Jonah, and David. So you can kind of figure it out. And then the first one you can't really dance to. Jesus is my superhero? Oh, the air guitar one? I don't remember. Yeah. Right. Yes. So be silly. So hopefully you'll remember those songs from this morning for later so you can participate in praise. And obviously everybody knows Lord's Army. So I want to see everybody marching and shooting artillery and doing airplanes. So so today we'll have a praise contest. In July, we're going to do a door decorating con. Just go for it, honey. Well, I'm going to stand next to you.
Contest for all of the classrooms. So you guys as armor bearers will get together and design and plan a door decor that is summer themed. Of some sort. And so we're going to wait after VBS. So at the first July huddle that we all have at the beginning of the month, we'll have all the lists or all the rules and contest things like when we need that by, when it's going to be done. At the August meeting, we will announce the winner and we'll have some sort of fun prize for the winning classroom. Lots of fun. I'm excited.
Yes.
About it.
Yes. It'll be good. It's something to engage us. And to also engage the children, because they'll be excited about it. So, yes. And then, so we have, it's classroom versus classroom. So for those online who didn't hear that, if you couldn't, it's a door decorating contest, so with your respective class. And then, summer, yep, so we just talked about that. And, oh, That's closing session. So I have things that I have written down that I wanted to talk about.
Okay. After.
Yeah, we'll do that after. We can hand them out now, and then we'll fill them out.
Did everybody get a note card?
Okay. We'll fill those up at the end. That's a personal thing for you, for us. So some things I wanted to talk about now that we're through the slides is, so we had praise, candy rewards. So the candy helps, but it should not be our crutch that we lean upon. So what I see is more important, rather than giving a kid a piece of candy, by giving him actual praise. So in the sense of, man, that's a really good question. Though you might not have been wrong, or you may have been right, you know, like, that was good job. Good job thinking of that. Because I think that will stick more. Now, if we give a piece of candy too, I'm like, hey, that was a really good question. You know, engaging them in that praise, because everybody wants to be admonished. We want to think, oh man, you know, the teacher thinks I had a good question. You know, that makes me feel good. Because everybody's always too afraid to ask anything. You think of like question and answer Bible studies. It's like, oh, I don't want to answer it. But then you're like, dude, that's a really good question. You know, that makes them go, oh, okay, maybe I'm not dumb. You know, I do ask good questions. So it's important. And I think that's more important. So be careful with how you use them. I will put it this way. On Wednesday nights, there's been times I've completely forgotten to give out candy. And the kids are like, are we going to get candy for this? I usually use candy during review. That's when I use candy. So I use it during review to see if they retained. So if they get a memory verse right, bingo, here's some candy. If they get a point right from something I talked about last week, if I tie, because I try to tie in what I taught the week before with the, and I don't do it intentionally. It kind of just happens because I remember what I taught, you know, the week prior. So I'll tie it in. And if they can remember the things, and we do intentional review on Wednesday nights, but that's when I give it because I know it's been retained. They've thought about it. And if we ask direct questions and they answer them, you can give them candy. But it's not a soul we should just be handing out candy. Right. Yeah. That's why we use gummy bears and Mike and Ike's a lot and TNT in front of the sun because they're small and individual and we can just give out one. I'm like, hey, you know, here's a piece of candy. Rather than Pop-Tarts, you know, not that you guys do this, but I've seen, you know, oh, you answered a question. Here's five Pop-Tarts, you know. It's like, oh, okay. Because, it distracts the kids. So if it's something that they can eat really quick, like an M&M or a Mike and Ike, they can chew it down real fast. And the kids will play with them and I don't let them do that. Once I catch them, I'm like, nope, you eat it or it becomes mine. And then I get the review candy. So that's how it works. That's how I operate the candy. Like I said, it is a reward. It's good. But I think our admonishing of them and our praise of them would go further than just a piece of candy.
Oh, high five.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've also, like I said, there's been times I've forgotten to give out review candy on Wednesday nights. And the kids will ask me and I'll say, oh, well, we just won't do it tonight. And they'll be like, okay. And they'll be fine without candy. They'll be okay. And at the end, we'll try to give them some. But, so yeah, because and one thing that we've been doing is on Wednesday nights, eventually we'll try to give everyone a piece. So we'll be asking review, and as we're teetering through, there's going to be questions some kids don't know that are a little bit bigger, and eventually everyone gets at least a small piece of candy. That way they feel included, and they're not like, you know, the little kids are going to be like, why didn't I get any candy? I do kind of, the little, so the, you guys are older classrooms. The little kids, you're constantly trying to feed them to keep them from attacking you. So it's a little different down there, but we use animal crackers for that. So, candy rewards. So, I think we're all good on that. I think we all, anybody have any questions about candy? No, you can do candy. Just be discerning in how you use it. Don't use it as always the go-to. Like, oh, we've got to give everybody candy. Also, just for the sake of our own budgets. I mean, if some of us buy our own candy and something like that sometimes, just it shouldn't be, don't let them expect the candy. Give it as a reward in the sense of, you know, they shouldn't come in there and like, where's our candy, Jim? And it's like, you know, simmer down now. You'll get candy or I'll get candy. There's been times in TNT I've eaten the candy in front of them because they were just being ridiculous and they weren't getting the answers. They were being ridiculous. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and eat Mike and Ike's until you guys figure this out. And they're like, but I want some. It's like, well, figure it out. You guys know my structure. So, but yeah, totally use them. Just be careful with how you use them. And just keep in mind, like, quick and easy snacks. Like, we have, we go to Sam's Club, we get Mike and Ike's, and we'll get, like, gummy bears. Jelly beans did not go over well. The kids did not like the jelly beans. I love them, but the marshmallow ones. Toasted marshmallow, best jelly bean ever made. So probably the grossest too, which is funny. So I think everybody understands that. So this is also getting me to figure out what I want to talk about with other groups that are bigger. So the next thing is engaging communication. So I've developed this concept called the Spider-Man principle. So if you've ever seen Spider-Man, if you watch, whenever he's in his suit, he talks more like this. Because he's trying to communicate without you being able to see his face and necessarily hear him very well. And so there's been a ton of studies. So Albert Mehrabian, UCLA psychology professor, did a study, and he found that in communication, 55% is received through body language, 38% is received through tone, and 7% through words. So 55% of what you're communicating is through what your body is saying. So praise. Or you're moving around, you're singing with them, you're doing things. They're going to see that more with your tone. So I always tell the kids how you speak to somebody. You can say the same word two different ways. So I can say, Pat, I love you, man. I can say, I love you. You're going to get a whole different message from what the way I say it to you. The tone is extremely important. And the way we speak with the children, our tone should always be meek and gentle. Because if we're scolding, these aren't even our own kids. I mean, half the time, I know if you're a parent here, we've scolded our own children and probably instantly regretted it. Like, I should not have done that. You know, usually you know. I mean, there are times to be stern and to be firm, but it's not scolding. We're not trying to hurt them. We're not trying to scar them. We're just trying to, hey, rebuke them. Like, hey, don't, no, we're not doing that. And there are times, if it gets crazy, that's when we call in reinforcements. If you need reinforcements, call in reinforcements. Everybody knows Mr. Mitch in the hallway. So if I come in there, they know they're not going to mess around. Because even Jody's told me recently, some of the kids were acting up with her, and I wasn't in there with her. I'm like, oh, okay, you want to play games? I'll come in there and play games. Like, we'll get this squared away. Because the kids know, and they need to learn obedience. They need to learn there's a structure, and you can't just disrespect people. But we're not going to, if you, it's like the yelling matches with adults. You yell, they yell, you yell, they yell. It's the crazy cycle. You just go back and forth. It's like someone needs to stop and say, okay, let's figure this out. And we need to be that spirit-filled believer that's like, okay. Because some of those kids, they're broken homes. You know, that's all they have is getting yelled at and everything. So we need to be able to get low, stoop down with them, and be like, hey, what's going on? Let's work this out. If you can't participate, you know, if we can't, and even then, like, how you deliver the discipline. So like if the kid is, you know, a visitor and he's acting out and just being ridiculous, and we do have a rule in place that you'll hear about with Chris and Lauren where we can remove them to so for Mighty Warriors, two armor bearers and have them be separated, but in a gentle way. Like, hey, maybe you're not ready for class right now. Let's go ahead and let's calm down. We'll bring you over here. Just sit down for a few minutes. And when you think you're ready to come back to class, we can bring you back. Instead of, hey, you're going to the other class. You know, something like that. It's a little bit more stern. They're not going to receive it as well. But if you bring it to, hey, you know, you seem tired, maybe something's going on, you just seem like you can't really function right now, let's bring you over here. And whenever you think you're ready, let me know and we'll bring you back. And most of the time the kids will tell you, they're like, okay, I'm ready to come back now, you know, and you can bring them back into class. So, but anyway, my point to all this was engaging in communication. So 55% body, 38% tone, 7% words. Mr. Mitch talks a lot. Sometimes I run my mouth too much and just keep talking and the kids are just like staring at me. So, which is where we have to remember this. So there's another thing that psychologists have figured out, not to always be talking about psychology, but there is a tool that can be used through it, is that the potential that each and every single one of us has to remember anything is only up to and not to exceed 10% of what you hear. You cannot retain everything you hear. If you're above the 10% mark, you're considered a genius. So 10% of what you're hearing, you can't hold, over 10%, sorry, you can't retain, you can't hold on to that. So we need to be careful about what we're dumping into them. You know, if we're just like dump, they're like, I'm not going to get any of this. And then we're wasting our breath trying to communicate this. And we'll talk about that in a second more. But what they did find out, so 10%, less than 10% of what you hear, but if you add seeing to that, it goes up to 50%. You'll retain 50% of it if you see it and hear it. And then if you do it, it goes to 90%. So if you just see it, less than 10. If you see it and do it, it's 50. If you hear it, my apologies. So if you just hear it, it's less than 10. If you add seeing to hearing, it's 50%. And if you add doing into that, it's 90% retention. That's a huge jump. I mean, that's a tool that we need to use by engaging the children in it. And I'll have a study I'll read in a second that's pretty mind-blowing from this book. And that's kind of my... and also speak with confidence. That's something I learned in the military really fast. So one of the things you do in the Army is you talk a lot on the radio, and most people are really timid because they're worried they're going to mess up on the radio and everyone's going to hear them. So I still remember this in basic training. I'm sitting there, we're doing radio class, and we're trying to do nine-line medevac. So nine-line medevac is just a line of terms you give out that is to call in somebody for a medevac, a medical evacuation. But they're all like, oh, well, I think it's this and this. And he's barely talking. And, like, you can't hear him on the other end of the radio. And I still remember this. The drill sergeant was like, what is he lacking? And I said, confidence. I was like, even if you don't know what you're talking about, if you say it with confidence, people will believe you. So just raise the volume a little bit. Be like, okay, this is what we got. Because even if you just get it completely wrong, typically I've noticed in my own self, if I don't know for sure and I'm being more confident in it and somebody corrects me, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, let me apply that and let me move on. And you don't get hung up on a little bit. But when you're all like, I don't know, and you're already like timid and like unsure of yourself, and then you get corrected, it like hurts you even more. You're like, oh man, I'm such an idiot. You know, I did this wrong. But if you just go with it with confidence, especially with, we have confidence in Christ. So, I mean, we should be able to be confident through these things. And I mean, the kids have called me out on stuff before. I've been wrong on things before, or missaid something, and they're like, hey, I don't think that's that. I'm like, oh yeah, Mr. Mitch is human. Look at that. Like, I forgot. Thanks, guys. And then they act like Pharisees, like they know more than me, but that's okay. Deliver it with confidence. Yes. So that's kind of my 2 cents on in engaging communication. So communication that engages people. So use your whole body. Speak. Like you guys see me, I move around. I talk with my, Ray's pointed out to me multiple times, I talk with my hands all the time. But I don't even realize I do it. But it's how we communicate. And I just want to take the audio away and just watch me moving around. And but also remember, hear, see, and do. This is actually something I don't know where I learned it from. I did this in the Army when I first got there because we had to memorize nomenclatures and max ranges and effective ability of stuff. And but I would read it. I would write it in my notes on my phone, and I would physically write it down. And then I would practice it. And I was solid on memorizing stuff back then, and now I'm slacking. Maybe it's having children just gets me, you know, behind on stuff. But, you know, we all have the ability and the technology at our hands to be able to do memorization and do all these things and engage people. We have every tool at our fingertips right now. Yeah, we just don't use them. And we can, and we have this tool. God has given us a mind, and he's given us his mind, and we have the ability to do these things. So, hearing, seeing, doing. So I want to talk about, in this book, I have it up here. It is a giveaway, so if you win the giveaway, I highly recommend getting this book. I'm going to have the library order it too. It's called Teaching to Change Lives by Howard Hendricks. Now, I will say, I have not read every word of the book, but I have perused it multiple times, taken different chapters out and stuff like that, but I haven't read it straight through. I think I read about half of it when we were on our anniversary trip, but I've gone back and taken sections out of different chapters and stuff to read them. It is super good. He taught for years, and so what I want to talk about is he has a chapter in here called Meaningful Activity. So activity is engagement. We're engaging them, and he has laws. He has them laws of teaching, basically. He has another book that's really big called The 7 Laws of a Teacher and 7 Laws of a Learner. Those are really good, too. So the first one is activity that provides direction without dictatorship. So direction without dictatorship. Oftentimes, and I see this in my own parenting, is we'll tell them to do something. We want them to do it our way. You know, you're going to do this my way. I'm like, well, let's see if they can figure out a way that they can do it. Now, if they do it wrong, you can be like, okay, hey, here's how we could have done this better, and we can navigate that. But give them structure to have or direction, but we don't want to straitjacket the kids. That's what he says. You want to give structure, not a straitjacket. So allow them to kind of flex a little bit and figure out how they can do this and how they can learn this. And then I don't have any of this in the slides. I don't have anything like that. Yeah. So you want to. It's the activity that provides direction without dictatorship. So we want to direct, not control, really. Structure, not a straitjacket. So. That is extremely important that we provide that structure for them. The second point is activity that stresses function and application. So this is what I was talking about earlier. So activity that stresses function and application. Don't overload. We can only take in less than 10% of what we hear. Now, so my point is you want to take in some and then apply some. And then take in some. That's how we grow. We take in some, we apply that. And then it's just like with your body. You eat something, your body absorbs what it can, and it gets rid of the rest. It gets rid of the rest. So that's how we need to digest the word. That's how the kids need to digest the word. Take in a little bit and then apply it through the week. I'm like, hey, I've asked the kids before, you know, were you able to apply this at school this week? And some are like, oh, yeah. I'm like, no. And like our new thing with Fun in the Sun for this 1040 window curriculum is instead of doing take-home pages now, we're doing daily reading, daily praying. So are they praying for the Damari people? Are they reading the Bible? And their parents have to initial it. So that proved that they did it, and they could still lie, but you know, that is, God will strike them down for that. So, but we want them engaged and realizing that they can apply these things throughout the week. If I were just dumping, you know, sermon loads on the kids, which sometimes I'm guilty of, they're not going to apply everything. They're not going to remember everything. You know, they will surprise you. I think we limit children on what they can do. King Josiah was 8 when he became king, 16 when he was purging the nation, and 26 whenever the word was introduced and he completely turned the nation around. And there was nobody like him before him or after him. So there's a lot to say about, I talked about the shield ceremony, you know, the youth. They can learn a lot more than we give them credit for. And also, if they get saved, they have the same Holy Spirit that you do. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our learner. He teaches us. So number two was activity that stresses function and application. So be able to get them to a point where they can apply it. Help them understand how they can apply this. Number three is activity with planned purpose. We need purpose to where we're going. Like I said, we have the threefold core of children's ministry. We have a purpose. What is our purpose? Really, it's to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. If we can get them to a point where they're in the will of God and actively working in his ministry and going forth with his mission, then we're good. We've succeeded. That's all we need. We just need disciples. That's really all we need. So if we can get 55 disciples out of this hallway in the next 10 years, boom. That is, I mean, golden for the kingdom of God. So activity with plan purpose. So what are you aiming for? We're not here to entertain. So each of us individually has to answer this question for ourselves. We're not here to just entertain kids. Like I laid out that principle for the children's ministry. It's pupils, parents, and peers. That's what we're here for. It's because we're here to make disciples. We're here to engage people in the kingdom of God, engage those that are peers with us in the battle, and to make sure that we're succeeding. Because we have parents that aren't engaged in the kingdom of God. They're not saved. And we have peers that aren't active in the battle. And the way to get active in the battle is to first train up those underneath you so that they can go to battle with you. Otherwise, you're going to be standing alone. And no one's going to be there with you because everybody's, they don't know what to do. They're like, I don't know how to, you know, the women and children always stay behind. But then I've been going through Lord of the Rings. I wanted to watch it after going through HBI because I was like, you know, I accomplished a long journey. And I haven't seen it since I was 12. So I went through and watched it. But, you know, it's just like any other war movie. Take the women and children and go hide them in the cave, you know. But the ones that are just old enough, they can go to battle. They're 12, 13, 14 years old. You know, in my own life, the time when I was, I think, spiritually attacked the most to hinder me from being able to grow, when I was like 12 years old, 11, 12 years old. That's middle school age. That's where these kids are. That's why I'm so adamant about these children, because if the enemy can take them out there, they're not going to be able to go to battle. They're not going to be able to do anything. And they're going to get so caught up in the web of the world that they're not going to be able to do anything. So we need a purpose. What are you aiming for? What is your desire with your time and your effort in the children's ministry? And each of us has to answer that individually. So the fourth one is activity that is concerned with process and product. Process and product. So I wanted to read this section of this Teaching to Change Lives. So activity that is concerned with the process and the product. So the what and why, basically. We want kids to understand why. That's apologetics. Randy's going through that right now. The why behind this and how you can communicate that. But in this book, on page 61, if you're ever going to get it, it's in the Law of Activity. It says this. This is a number of Christian youth organizations have sponsored research with results indicating a surprising similarity between Christian and non-Christian kids in the areas of values, morals, and behavior. The only major difference is a verbal one. The Christians answer no when asked if they would lie or cheat or steal or go to bed with someone, while the non-Christian kids say, of course, if it's to my advantage. But at the actual behavioral level, there's essentially no difference. So they're speaking it, but they're not actually practicing it. So they're Pharisees. They're not actually, because they haven't figured out the why to their faith, which is why we've had so many walk away. Because I bet you ask any single one of the kids that has walked away from the church, I bet 99% of them will say hypocrisy. My parents said it, but never did it. I never saw real faith. I never saw anybody do anything with it. And that's why a lot of them, when you show them real faith, they're like, oh. They kind of question a little bit, like, okay, maybe this is something. Because they're not seeing real faith. It's not until it's shown, it's made real to them, and then their hearts will burn within them. Because, like, this guy's actually, he's really sold out on this. Like, he actually believes this. I'm like, yeah, I do. Like, I'm not just here wasting my time. So that is something that is we should really think about, is the fact that, you know, they've done research to prove that the kids are saying it, but their behavior is completely different. And what we want is to change the behavior. You know, that's what we want with kids. We want the behavior change. I don't want you to just say, yes, sir. I want you to do the right thing. Like, I couldn't care less if you respect me. Just do the right thing. That's all. So, so that's something that's really big. So the process and the product. We want to produce good product from the process. Like I said, the threefold cord, the process of the children's ministry. And that goes through the pupils, the peers, and the parents. So, and then number five is realistic activity includes problem-solving situations. So they need answers to their problems. This is something I think is a problem in a lot of the church, is that we're not engaging in actual things that matter, per se. We do the surface-level stuff, you know, the typical things. But like, since there's no children here and no children will listen to this, I always say, what are the two things that cause divorces that nobody ever talks about? Biggest two things, sex and money. But guess what doesn't get talked about in the church very much? Sex and money. Two things that are one of the biggest things that cause wickedness in the heart. The root of all evil is money. The cause of most people's downfall is sexual immorality and stuff like that. Look at our world right now. Look at all the big guys in the back, David, you know, all these guys, but we don't talk about it. Now, I'm not saying talk about this with the children. There's a way to navigate that. Obviously, with the youth, it's more possible, but as they get there. But things that actually matter, so stop and ask them. Like, hey, what's going on? Look, this kid was being really, I haven't had a chance to talk to Mason about it yet. He was at a football game, tried to give a kid a VBS invite. Oh, me and my dad don't believe in Jesus. And he tore it up and threw it at Mason and then walked off. And Mason took it like a champ. I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it yet. I don't know how he felt about it. But they also know. Yeah. He was upset because he wasted his invite and somebody else could have had it. But that's the world, though. They don't care. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to rip this up so nobody else can have it. I don't care. And that kid's like 6 years old, 7 years old, maybe eight. But yeah. So I lost my train of thought talking about that situation. But yeah, they need real answers to things like that. Like, oh, well, let's talk about that. So why would that kid do that? You know, and that could be a whole lesson. You could take the whole class. You could throw out the whole lesson that you prepared. I don't even care. And talk about that. Because every single kid in that classroom will experience that at some point in their life. They will face rejection for the sake of Christ. They will. And if they don't know how to handle that, they're going to be like, man, I don't like this. Everybody's treating me horribly. They're not going to be resilient, which is what we want children to be, is resilient, so that they can endure that stuff. Because if we're going to be good soldiers, we have to be able to endure hardship. You know, we have to. And if we don't engage those kids in those real problems in their lives, they're going to fail. And they're going to walk away, which is what we see today. So, those are the five rules of meaningful activity that Howard Hendricks has laid out. Here, what we're going to have you guys do with these is... yes, we want to get to know you.
Just follow the format. Just put your name. And then your favorite color. If you're not actively serving in team,
say NA.
I'll take those.
I didn't even see this microphone here. I could have had you. So, also, as you fill those out, we'll take this time. If you have questions, anything you guys want to talk about, any ideas, maybe some feedback. This is my first session on this, so if this was good, if I hit the topic well. Yes. The worst part is I didn't write down every word I said, so hopefully I can remember everything I said. So for those of you who are listening on recording, going through a list of your favorite color, favorite candy or treat, favorite drink, favorite Bible verse, year began, and the kingdom seekers. So we'll get this from you guys as well. So if we'll go through this with me. My favorite color, Jody, what is my favorite color? Green. Jody, what is my favorite candy or treat? Ooh, that's up there. Yes. Also, Mike and Ike's are pretty up there. So, and then favorite drink. Accurate. Water. Favorite Bible verse? Ooh. Ecclesiastes 12:13 is probably one of my favorites. Yeah, Colossians, but Ecclesiastes 12:13 is one of my, like that one. And then the year I began in Kingdom Seekers, 2013. It was Kingdom Kids at the time. Yes.
Another thing, talking, learning each other's names is important.
Yes.
Because if you can recognize and call them by name, they will feel more connected to you. If you have to learn their names by having it in front of you, and as they come in, you get their name and write it down, that's fine. They won't know that you're doing that. Or if even if they do know that you're doing that, it's not going to hurt their feelings. You know that they.
Well, actually, yeah, I don't think they're going to care. They're going to be happy that you're trying to learn their name. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah,
see? Engaging them. Yeah. And that's good.
And so, like we always know. I'll get their name, and I'll write it down, and I'll put it on his thing so he knows.
Right. So, and I want to speak to that for a second because I don't remember the time frame. I just want to check the time. Oh, we got 15 minutes. So we're doing. We started early. Yeah. So we're that's good though. That means we got time to do things. But right. That's fine. What were you just talking about?
Names.
I remember a time. I don't remember when it was, but I remember a time when I didn't know the kids' names. So I was leading the ministry because really I was just thrown into the ministry. And it was basically the same time frame in which I decided to purchase the field myself and make it my own. Was it then Sunbeams? Well, I remember doing stuff in the, maybe it was Wednesday nights. And I remember saying, oh, hey, you. And then finally, I don't remember if I read something or something triggered it. And I was like, I need to know these kids by name. I want to be able to talk to them. And it completely changed, I'm going to sneeze. It completely changed my heart with the children's ministry. Because it connected me to them. And it's like, oh, now I know them. And now I can engage them. And now I can engage them outside of class, too. Like, I'm like, hey. Because I've told every kid in the class, every single one of them knows this. I was like, now that I've taught you these things, if I see you acting a fool out and about with your parents, I will call you out. And I've done it to multiple kids. Now I always ask their parents. I'm like, hey, do you mind? I won't name a name. But there was a little bit older, a boy, of course, because we have lots of boys. And I saw him be completely disrespectful to his dad. And then his mom... They were in different locations. Dad was over here. Mom was coming down the hallway. Hey, come here. And I was like, hey, can I talk to him for a second? And she's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. I was like, okay. I was like, so I got real close to him. And I was like, I've told you before, I will call you out when I see you acting like this in front of me because I've taught you these things. And I know your parents teach you these things. And I was like, don't be acting like this. And I explained to them why, you know, and just take it back to the Bible. I'm like, we should not be this way. And because as they'll learn, when they become members of the church, really what a membership is a license to discipline you. So it's a license to say, hey, what you're doing is jacked up, and you need to stop. And if you don't repent of it, there's going to be discipline that comes. So, I mean, really, the kids need to understand that structure when they're young. And it's like, hey, it's a whole body. So I'm here, and I see you, and I see what you're doing, and I'm going to correct you if I see it. Now, obviously, we need to push it off to just like with salvation. We're not here to do altar calls. We're here to lead them to the point of salvation and then have their let their parents handle it. Now, if their parents want to ask for help, then that's different. But just like with that, I go to the parents, hey, do you mind if I talk to them for a second? And they go, oh, yeah, sure. I'm like, all right, come on over here. We'll have a little talk away from mom and dad. And I will hurt you. No, I'm just kidding. But I think those things are what make an impact in their life. They need to realize that we're all here to help them and to engage them and to grow them so that they can be better and so that eventually they can get saved. And, you know, this is something me and if you guys know Bo Green from Maple City, him and I were talking about this in the sense of discipling children before they're saved. Most people will be like, oh, no. I mean, we do discipleship with adults before they're saved sometimes. In less than three, they usually get saved or they don't. And then we kind of stop or do whatever. Why can't we disciple children? Because really that's what children's ministry is. We're discipling them to a point. Think of Josiah. Josiah was doing what he knew to be right based on a structure. He was trying to do his best. He was purging the nation of all the wickedness. He could identify this is wicked, but he didn't know why or the how until they found the word of the law in the treasury, brought it to him. He repented and then completely transform the nation with what they should be doing. So if we can get kids a foundation, let me finish my thought and I'll let you go, Pat. But if we can give them a foundation that then they get saved and they're like, well, now I have all this knowledge that I can apply this to literally, practically, and they can go so much further. Because that's what we want. That's the thing. I was talking to a guy at work yesterday. I won't go too long. About this, on how I hate the, and hate's a really strong word, but I really do hate it, this whole mentality of, well, they'll figure it out on their own. Like, that's what parents will say. Like, oh, they'll figure it out when they get there. I'm like, my desire is that they would go further than me Because I have all this stuff now, and if I can give it to them at a young age, then they can leapfrog off of that onto something bigger. And that's the same thing we want with the children's ministry. I want, you know, Mark Trotters to come out of this children's ministry. You know, people who can go do big things for Christ, because one of them might be a next Mark Trotter or whoever. And I use that because we all know Mark Trotter and how impactful he was in lives. But that's what we should be looking at with teaching is, was it C.T. Studd. I can't remember the exact quote, but he talked about how he wants to blaze a trail in which he's just a stepping stone. They bury his body, and his body's just a stepping stone for the next generation to step off of. What were you saying, Pat? Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. Yeah, we might be able to do something like that.
I don't know if we can.
Yeah, it is.
If you, I mean, like trying to make a student chart when they come in might help too.
So one of the things that I do, what I do with adults, is say I'm meeting you for the first time, Pat. I would come up and say, "What's your name?" You would say, "Pat." I go, "Okay, Pat." And then we talk. And they're like, and as I'm leaving, I'm like, "All right, it was Pat, right?" And most of the time, they're like, "Yeah, it was Mitch." And I'm like, "Yes." And I just do that at the end, just so I've said it three times. And now it's like, okay, now we're both good. And then I'll probably forget. Now I've learned with my own mind, it takes me about 3 weeks. If I don't interact with that person within 3 weeks, I'll usually forget their name on accident. I'll remember it for a few weeks, and I'll think about them often, and then within 3 weeks, if I don't see them again, I'll kind of dump it on accident. And then I'll be like, oh, I remember your name, and I'll have to try to remember it. But with the kids, you can do it as, hey, what's your name? And you can meet them, and then try to interact with them through the class. Because if you do it like every 10 minutes, you maybe say their name, then it's going to start sticking more. And the more you can do it, the more, and then, you know, if you call on them or something, you can say their name, and that'll help.
But
yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It is hard. But just, yeah. I will say this. Remember that the lesson, I don't want to say this the wrong way. The lesson can come last. What I want is us to make a connection with these kids. If the lesson's 5 minutes, just John 3:16, I don't care. If you're connecting with these children, so if we have to forsake all, I had all these plans. I'm like, well, let's just forsake that for a second. And just, there was a time we were in Armor Bearers, before it was Armor Bearers, and the kids just seemed rough. They were just having a bad day. I could just tell. And there was only like 6 or 7 in there. I was like, you know what? Forget this. We took out the lesson. They weren't getting the lesson anyway. They were like, because they were all just, something was off. So I sat them all down and we talked. And we ended up just talking about the gospel. And I learned some things about some of the kids and their home life and stuff like that. They're just like, you know, forsake the lesson because I'm here to make an impact on them. Each individually. So if I can just sit down, like let's just go over each other's names together. Let's sit down. Let's all take a breath, and let's connect. Because if we can connect with them, they'll keep coming back, and they'll want to come back, and they'll see you, and they'll want to talk with you. I'm like, hey, you know, at Walmart, you know, or wherever, you know, which kids will do anyway, because the kids love that when they see their teachers out and about. But you know, as important as a lesson, it's for like Fun in the Sun now, our new, it's a hard adjustment. Is the lessons only like the Bible part's very short. Because it's a lot of teaching about the Damari people. There's activities to get them involved. But I'm used to TNT, which I'm very teachy heavy. But now we're transitioning to the Fun of the Sun. This is more, less teachy. The Bible's there, but it's more of teaching. But for in the sake of just as a whole, we want to connect with them. So if that takes forsaking most of the lesson, get them a good solid point about Christ and something like that, then let them take that with them and just connect with them in any way that we can that keeps them and keeps our attention engaged. So, yeah. Yeah. Well, also, we're doing those prayer lists now, which that might help as well with memorizing it, because you're praying for them. You'll be, yeah. But our minds are only capable of so much, but we do have the Holy Spirit to help us. So, I mean, prayer goes a long way with trying to engage these things in our own minds. So, yeah. We can. We got about 7 more minutes.
Okay, so say Genesis, and then they go to the back of the line, and then the next person is going to say Exodus, and then they're going to go to the back of the line. And then the goal is to get all the way through the Bible. So this is a game that we play.
Yes.
We can play this for a little bit.
I got this. Jim runs out of the room. He's like, I'm out of here. Oh, that's okay.
Anyway, it's a fun game. It's kind of hard. Like, guess kids who only come very sporadically. They genuinely don't know.
Come on, Tommy.
But those.
You're a guest kid. It's okay. We'll work with you.
But it's okay. You can just do your best. It's no problem.
We are engaging you. It's
but
fun.
It is important that they know them before they go to youth, I think, personally.
Hey, Ray.
That they ought to know.
You can cut off the recording.